The Declaration of Independence proclaims that our rights come from the Creator. And the first right listed is the right to life. But not only does abortion undermine that right in modern America, we're now beginning to see a major push to end life prematurely at the other end of the spectrum. There's a growing acceptance of doctor-assisted suicide and mercy killing. Recently, David Clawson, an author who is working with the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C., he wrote about this burgeoning problem. Quote, within a single week, the governors of Illinois and New York both announced their support for physician-assisted suicide legislation. With these developments, Illinois and New York join 11 other states and Washington, D.C., that have already authorized physician-assisted suicide. What is that all about? We're going to talk now with David Clawson, Director of Christian Ethics and Biblical Worldview for Family Research Council in D.C. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point. And David, thank you so much for joining us again on the program.
Jerry, a joy to be on the program again. Thanks so much for having me.
Sure. So what's the difference between doctor-assisted suicide and suicide?
Well, from a moral perspective, I would argue there's not a whole lot of difference. Now, from a legal and practical standpoint, what we've seen and what I wrote about in the piece that appeared in the Washington Stand is the fact that two of our nation's largest states, Illinois and New York, have joined the list of states that now allow what they call medical aid in dying. And so each law is slightly different, as you would imagine. But what we're really seeing is a continued advance of what Scripture rightly calls a culture of death.
You write in the article, God is the author of life, Genesis 1:26, and explicitly forbids murder, Exodus 20:13. That's from the Ten Commandments, of course. Assisted or not, intentionally ending an innocent human life is murder, and God condemns it. But what about those who are suffering with some sort of a disease, and it's incurable, or so it seems?
Yeah, so that is the argument that is made. Proponents of assisted suicide, and this goes back to the earliest discussions about this. If you think what was happening in Washington State and Michigan, and even, of course, in the Netherlands at the very beginning of the century. But proponents often frame assisted suicide as mercy or compassion. Governor Hochul of New York actually explicitly grounded her support in theological language. She appealed to God's mercy. And, Jerry, I think the argument is emotionally powerful because it does appeal to the fear of suffering, our desire for control, a genuine concern for dying. But, again, the problem that I would argue is that lawmakers, they're not indifferent to suffering, but what they're offering is the wrong solution. And I'm sure we could talk about this in a second, but the safeguards that they put in place in these bills never hold. And that's another huge problem with these so-called medical aid in dying bills.
By the way, I can't help but think of that comment many, many years ago from Bill Maher, who said something to the effect of if he ever got some sort of disease and it was going to be fatal, but it might be involved long time suffering, then he would, you know, end his life. And he said he would basically say to God, you can't fire me, I quit.
Yeah. And that's the rationale. And why is that, Jerry? We live in an age where autonomy has become kind of the god of this age. No one likes to submit to any sort of external or outside authority. Now, we see this in so many of the issues that you and I both deal with, whether it's abortion, same-sex marriage, or in this case, physician-assisted suicide. And again, this is so problematic, I would argue, on a theological and biblical ground, because God is the author of life, and that's foundationally why we believe that life has value and dignity from the moment of conception until natural death. But what is also so problematic is that these bills are often framed in this language where it has to be a terminal diagnosis and they provide waiting periods, you know, mental health evaluations. Even some of these laws require self-administration, so there's no complicity by a doctor. Those guardrails are used to reassure the public. But Jerry, our short history with this experiment tells a very different story. Again, we don't have to guess about this. This is not hypothetical. Just look across our northern border in Canada. They legalized assisted suicide in 2016 for terminal illnesses. Only 5 years later, a terminal illness is no longer required. And in fact, they've already said next year, in 2027, eligibility for assisted suicide will now include those who simply have a mental illness, who are suffering no physical pain. And so, again, we shouldn't be surprised that in 2023, almost 5% of all deaths in Canada were assisted suicide. And final point I'll make is in the Netherlands, their expansion now includes children, even as young as 1 to 12. So again, it's Pandora's box, the slippery slope when it comes to these physician-assisted suicide laws.
I want you to talk more about the Netherlands. I understand there was even a point where the number of voluntary assisted suicides was actually eclipsed by the number of non-voluntary suicides. In other words, the state, in some cases, or the doctors chose who they would kill, not just those who were saying, yeah, I want to go ahead and die, rather than suffer months and months of this terminal illness.
And this is why the safeguards always collapse. Because, again, if autonomy is absolute, why not exclude, or why exclude mental illness? Why exclude non-terminal suffering? Why exclude minors? Jerry, the internal logic of the law demands expansion. I think a helpful way to think about this, and I might have put this in the article, but once autonomy becomes the highest moral good, no boundary can survive. And again, think about the involuntary part that you're just describing. In places like the Netherlands and other places where they have socialized health care, you know, it takes a lot of money, frankly, to keep older people alive who have different sorts of advanced dementia and things like that. And, of course, you can see from kind of a secular perspective, well, man, wouldn't it just be easier for everybody to expand? Euthanasia, by the way, literally means good death. Why not expand this? It takes a burden off of families. It takes a burden off society. And if you are operating, again, from a secular worldview that does not see life itself as inherently valuable, full of dignity, the idea that all people, born and unborn, are made in God's image, you can see how that logic has an internal coherency to it that could be quite attractive.
Do you see any kind of link to this mercy killing and abortion? I mean, the widespread acceptance of abortion?
100%. And look at the United States. So once New York's law is officially signed, that hasn't happened yet. It's going to happen later this month, January 2026. We'll have 13 states plus the District of Columbia. All 13 of those states and the District of Columbia have very expansive abortion laws that have only become more expansive since Roe v. Wade was overturned in June of 2022. And Jerry, we should be utterly unsurprised by that, because if you do not value life at the beginning stages, you're not going to respect or honor life at the end, the final stages. The culture of death, that logic works in both directions. And again, I think that's why the church is ultimately going to be the final bulwark. I do think there's still some tension in the medical community. Doctors, of course, take the Hippocratic Oath to do no harm, to heal people and to help people. And so there's still some resistance within the medical community against physician-assisted suicide. But some of those bulwarks are beginning to fall. And again, as we become more secularized as a country, you shouldn't be surprised by that.
Your article says this: a Center for Biblical Worldview report released in October found that 54% of churchgoers desire additional biblical teaching on euthanasia and physician-assisted suicide. So it's not something you hear, you know, often at all, really, from the pulpit.
No, it's not. And what's interesting, Jerry, is that ranked lowest among moral topics that we ask about. We ask Again, this is research I did with George Barna, the well-known researcher, of course. And we asked, these are regular churchgoers in this survey. We released it in October of last year. Do you want additional teaching from your church? And we gave them five or six issues: abortion, political engagement, human sexuality. And those hit 70%, 76%, 60%. Euthanasia was the lowest. And I think that's only going to increase, though, as many of these laws begin taking into effect. But here's your big takeaway. Our culture is clearly moving faster than the church is teaching. And so we do have to play some catch-up on this issue.
Are there situations where some people are basically put to death, but it's against their will? Like maybe in the Netherlands or Canada or other countries?
Yeah, there are stories about this. And this is one of the reasons in Canada, they are looking to expand the law, Jerry, when it comes to mental illness. But one of the reasons, this law, it was supposed to go into effect a couple of years ago. The reason they keep putting it further and further down the line is because of what you just said. If someone is suffering from extreme mental illness, psychological issues, psychiatric issues, how do we know what their actual will is? And so that's one of the reasons some of these medical groups are pushing back, because they're saying, hey, we very likely might be taking the life of people who, if they were in their right mind, would not want to go through with this. And so, of course, some proponents of these bills will say, hey, well, it requires a mental evaluation. It requires two doctors to sign off on it. But I just don't think those, of course, I'm against this for more fundamental reasons, but I would argue that even those so-called safeguards are not enough, and that's why these bills are so problematic on so many levels.
Did you say that in Holland there are situations where even children are under consideration to be euthanized?
Yeah, this was the Netherlands, and so again, they initially legalized euthanasia in 2002, so just over 24 years ago, and there was lawsuits about this, and it's called the Groningen Protocol, where they were pushing the logic, and initially they said children could be eligible if their parents consented, but then the discussion there in the Netherlands was, what about children whose parents don't consent? And so the highest court there looked at this issue, and ultimately they did say that children who have this desire should not be prevented from going through. And so it's horrifying on every – it's a complete inversion of a moral order. And this is coming to a state near you unless the United States really takes the horrible example of these other countries to heart.
Was the first state in the United States to accept this kind of doctor-assisted suicide? As I recall, it was Oregon or something. It was in the Pacific Northwest, which is a very, secular region overall.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And if you look again at the 13 states, it's either on the East Coast or the Pacific Northwest. And so I think you're absolutely right on Oregon being the first.
Now, I live in Florida, and Florida has a lot of old people. I remember before I ever had my first visit to Florida, my aunt told me, oh, you know what? Florida has the newlywed, the overfed, and the half-dead. all joking aside, I mean, it would be horrible if something like that was forced on the people of Florida. Well, we have maybe 15 seconds to wrap up. FRC.org for more information. A closing thought, 10 seconds on euthanasia.
Yeah, this is going to be one of the most important issues we can deal with. Time to start thinking about it.
All right, David Clausen of FRC. Thanks so much. All the best.
Thank you, Jerry. God bless.
You too. Bye-bye now.